We're sitting here with Steve Williams of the British power metal band Power Quest, the main man and the keyboard player of Power Quest, who are about to release their third and brand new album, Magic Never Dies, on Monday, I think, right, Steve?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, it has been postponed a few times due to problems with distributors and pressing and something like that.
The DVD caused one or two problems.
Yeah.
It got to the point where we thought, oh, why do we ever bother, you know?
Yeah. Well, okay, we better kick it off. How are you doing?
I'm good. Very good.
That's good. You're excited over the release Monday?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's part of me was wondering whether it was ever going to come out.
Yeah. It had been released in Japan, though, right?
Yes, it came out, I think it was May the 21st.
May the 21st. And as far as I read, it had, well, it's good critics already. Is it number 6 in some charts, in some magazine or something?
Yeah, it reached number 6 in the HMV metal chart over in Japan.
Mm.
And it's doing quite well in the Burn magazine. Chart as well.
Okay.
And the reviews have all been pretty positive, to be honest.
Okay.
So yeah, very happy.
Looking good for the European release.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, nice to build up a bit of momentum beforehand.
Okay. Alright, well, on with the questions I have on my papers here, and no matter how I try to avoid cliches and try to come up with a nice twist to start an interview, it always comes down to the basic and standard question, so we might as well fire away with that one already. Tell us a bit about the work on the new album. Did everything run smoothly during the recordings? Are you happy with the ready result?
Yeah, I think it was very smooth and non-stressful environment, really, this time round. I think when you've been working with, on the whole, the same people for a few years, things get a bit easier. You know how they work, you know how you work. Everybody knows what sort of standards are expected and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think from each album, really, it's been a more enjoyable experience each time. And as for the actual results of the recording, I think me and all the rest of the guys are very happy, you know. We think we've made a progression again, if you like. Maybe improved a couple of areas, you know, from the last album. And generally feel, even when you take things like the actual cover artwork and the booklet and stuff, even that's a step up, I think, this time as well. So yeah, we're 110% happy, I think, so far.
That's good. Well, which brings me to my second question. Has your way of working within the band changed over the years as a result of how you've grown as a team? You are known as the main composer, really, but how much space do the other guys have? How is everything divided in the working process of a new album?
Well, I think we've worked a system, really, that's quite different from what we had when we started out. Back in the Wings of Forever days, we had another two members based in the UK and only Alessio overseas, which meant, of course, we could get together and have proper rehearsals, maybe every 2 weeks, that kind of thing. Of course, we can't do that now. It's not so feasible with, you know, three Italian members. But in terms of the songwriting, you know, I pretty much operate the same way as I always have done, really. You know, I've come up with ideas and I'll run them past our bass player, Steve, see what he thinks. You know, if he's, you know, positive about it, then I'll carry on. And then we send CDs over to the guys. Usually in the initial stages, it's myself and Alessio who work on the songs. Alessio is particularly interested in the drumming side of things, so he likes to have a lot of input on that. And of course, this time we didn't have a drummer at the time. We didn't know who was going to be playing on the album, so we felt it was important to work out some parts ready, you know. So it's an unusual setup, really, but one that seems to work okay for us.
The new album, once again recorded in Thin House Studios and produced again by Threshold guitarist Carl Groom. Using the same producer every time, you get a certain routine, you know each other, should be quite straightforward, but always room for improvements. Did you bring in something new into the recording process? Did he come up with something new?
Carl always has so many new ideas. You know, this time round they bought some new equipment for the studio as well, so we have some new toys to play with, so to speak. which is always nice. Also, as well as Cole, we had Richard West from Threshold doing a bit of the vocal production.
Okay.
Which was a bit different experience working with somebody else, but again, Richard's very much like Cole. They're both very relaxed guys, but they're not afraid to put a rocket up your arse if it's needed, you know.
Yeah.
And we all appreciate that.
Yeah.
We know that we can have fun, but we've got to work as well, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And of course, the other thing with that particular studio is Clive Nolan from Arena also works there.
Mm.
And he's always on, being a keyboard player, he's always on hand, you know, checking out what I'm doing and all that kind of thing. And quite often he'll lend me some keyboards if I'm after a particular sound that I haven't got.
Yeah.
He'll say, oh Steve, you know, you come upstairs and we'll have a look, you know, and come back down with a couple of different keyboards.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's almost like going to see old friends rather than going to the studio to work with a producer, which is quite nice really.
How much time and how big of a budget does a band of your size have for recording? Do you feel that the red result would be even better with a bigger budget, or the sound you have now, in fact, what you're aiming for?
Well, I think you can always dream about spending longer in the studio. We all enjoy the time in the studio, and it's always a bit sad when the last day comes around.
Yeah, of course.
But equally, you need to set yourself targets and guidelines and things. You need something to work towards. To be honest, I think 8 or 9 weeks is a perfect amount of time, really.
Yeah.
You know, for a band of our sort, anyway.
Yeah.
And it gives you sufficient time to work on the other things, like backing vocals, you know, things that maybe aren't thought of as a major part of the songwriting process.
Mm.
It certainly takes a bit of time to work all that out in the studio. And in terms of money, I think we probably spent £8,000 on this album.
Okay.
Which is probably twice as much as we spent on Wings of Forever.
Yeah.
So you're getting a little bit more financial flexibility each time.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Power Quest, you're from the UK, and I think it's fair to say that it's not really the center of metal music at the moment, and especially not the kind of melodic power metal you're playing. How come you started with this type of metal in the first place? Was there any particular role models you had back then, so to speak, or any particular part of the scene at the time that inspired you?
Well, I think I've always been into melodic metal, rock, power metal, whatever you want to call it. From bands like Maiden in the 80s through bands like Cinderella and things like that in the States and Van Halen, you know, and then on to Gamma Ray and Stratovarius, people like that. You know, I've always had a soft spot for that kind of thing. But I suppose meeting up with what's now the Dragon Force guys was one of the major turning points for me, certainly in terms of finally finding people who like the same sort of music as I do.
Yeah.
Which, as you say, is not an easy thing to do over here.
No. Three albums released now, Wings of Forever 2002, Neverworld 2003, and the brand new Magic Never Dies, due to release Monday, 27th of July. Do you at this point have any concrete plans for how to sooner or later take Power Quest and everything to the next level after this, or are you just going to ride on the success on this one for a moment and let it come to you later?
Well, I think it's a difficult decision in a sense as to how you want to play things, because unless you've got a super big record company behind you, whether it be Nuclear Blast, Sanctuary, whoever it might be, it's very hard for your average independent label to promote a band at a sufficient level to really get you to break through. And, you know, I've got no real aspirations to be a rock star in the traditional sense of the word.
Okay.
I get plenty of buzzes and thrills from recording, releasing the albums, chatting to people, doing interviews, all that kind of thing. You know, I really love all that. Obviously, I'd love to play live more.
Yeah.
It would be great. I think that's the missing link, perhaps, for the band, but we've never had the chance to do a European tour until now.
You have not? Yeah, you have not played many live shows in the past.
No,
but it's starting to... I know you played Bloodstock 2003, and you played recently a gig with the Swedish Grim Evil and Labyrinth starting to move a little bit?
Yeah, it was fun playing, certainly playing with Grim Evil last year was good, and a couple of shows with Threshold as well.
Yeah.
I'm working on a few things for the autumn of this year, which hopefully will come off in our favour.
Yeah. Japan, perhaps?
This is the big talking point.
Yeah, okay.
We're waiting for the sales figures actually to come back from
Private
Marquee.
Of course.
The initial sort of provisional figures, they were saying it's doing much better than Neverworld did. And that's what they wanted to say, obviously.
Yeah.
But it'd be a dream come true to go over there, that's for sure.
When browsing the web, I don't have to look long to find quotes like monumental and so vibrant, full of life, and brilliant, and truly amazing, and a tremendously uplifting experience, just to name a few. How does it feel to read the things about Nevlin that you've been a big part of creating? Had you imagined this 5-6 years ago when you started up?
Absolutely not. You know, it's the things you hope for, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
If you even get one person saying that, it's an amazing thing, really.
But as
I was saying a minute ago, I think the fact that people can say those things about something you've worked so hard on, that's what I do this for, I think.
Yeah.
More than making a big pile of money or anything like that. I just like people to see what I see in the songs.
Yeah.
You know, and if you can achieve that, I think you've done a good job, really.
Yeah, of course. And the rest comes to the bonus, of course.
Sure.
Money and all, big tourist stuff. To be honest, you're not exclusively playing hardcore power metal anymore, if I get to say my point, meaning fast and ultra-melodic all the time. I have to say that sometimes you move into simple hard rock, almost AOR, or even stadium rock areas.
Yeah.
And without looking too hard, I found traces of early Van Halen, Europe in your music nowadays.
Absolutely.
It feels like the intensity and speed has been taken down a notch over the albums. Do you feel that you are or will be leaning more to one of these musical sides in the future, or is the mix you have nowadays here to stay?
I think the blend of the different styles is what all the guys at the band like, you know.
Yeah.
We've got bits of everything in terms of what we all like to listen to.
Yeah.
It makes for an interesting live performance. You get an opportunity to open up with a couple of fast numbers, slow it down with a hard rock song, maybe go for a ballad, then go for a 9-minute progressive edged song as well.
Yeah.
And it makes it fun. And I think from what people are saying, the people who like what we do, that's one of the things they like. It's variety.
That's also what I have read about what people say about you. They like the, like I said, progressive, a bit of progressiveness, simple hard rock, and also the power metal thing. The whole mix and blend. And also, of course, for you guys who are playing it must be nice to have some variation in the
repertoire. Particularly from a drummer's perspective, I think.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to tailor the set a little bit so your drummer isn't worn out after four songs.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think the crowd enjoy the different pace as well. I know some people like it to be fast and furious from start to finish. But I think certainly as I've gotten older, I think I appreciate the light and shade and things a little bit more.
Yeah, certainly. Is there any member in the band who's leaning more about it? Do you have any extremes? Someone like death metal more? Some softer guy? Or do you listen to mainly the same thing, all of you?
I think Steve, our bass player, is very much a hard rock and power metal kind of guy, you know.
Yeah.
Andrea, the guitar player, he's really into his sort of 70s rock, you know, Deep Purple and bands like that, as well as Malmsteen and other kind of things.
Yeah.
Alessio is very hard rock influenced as well, whereas Francesco, our new drummer, he's very into his progressive metal. Even bands like Cynic and Death, you know, and I suspect I've probably got a lot in common with him as well, as I'm quite a progressive fan as well, you know. But it's the variety, I think, that adds to it.
Yeah.
And certainly, I think on the new album, Francesco's drumming has made a huge difference.
Well, it really reflects in your music, exactly what you're telling now, the all different influences you have, and of course, it really reflects in the music.
Cool.
A little bit about yourself, Steve. Your musical background. Have you been attending any music schools, classes, or are you mainly self-taught?
Well, it goes a long way back, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I was 6 or 7.
Okay.
When my parents decided that I should have piano lessons and violin lessons.
Mm-hmm. I can read on the website you master keyboards, guitar, violin and mandolin.
I wouldn't say my guitar and mandolin and violin are as up to speed as my piano playing these days. But, you know, it's certainly enough to give you ideas when it comes to songwriting and things like that. But, my mum and dad decided, I should learn. They both wanted to learn when they were children, but never got the chance. And they thought I should, you know. So I took classical lessons on both instruments until I was 16. And I carried on for a further 2.5 years with piano classical lessons as well. And it all went through all the exams that you could do and all that kind of thing. So, fairly formal training, I suppose. I had a stint as a church organist as well at one point, which some people have commented on as being evident in the Power Quest style, you know. I think it's a fair point in some ways.
Any plans to educate yourself in the future further?
Actually, it's something I've been thinking about, to be honest, over the past year or so. I would like to go back to university at some point and study music at university if I can find the time to do it.
Okay.
I'd love to.
Do you compose mainly on the keyboard, or does it happen that you build a song from the guitarist's point of view? Or?
Well, normally I'd say probably 75%, 80% of the time is written on keyboards.
Okay.
Perhaps an exception would be Find My Heaven off the new album.
Mm-hmm.
Where the main guitar melody obviously came from jamming around on the guitar.
Yeah.
So it's quite nice to have something a little bit different. And it's something I'd like to do a bit more in the future as well, maybe have some of the lead melodies of the songs to be a bit more guitar driven, perhaps. You know, but I also like the idea of having the harmony parts where your keyboard and your guitar are playing like a twin guitar lineup. And that's always good fun. So I use the guitar when I can, really. I don't often get a chance to play, but sometimes when you're jamming around, you come up with an idea and you think, I could build some keyboards around this.
Yeah.
And off you go, you know?
Yeah. Your spare time, what does it consist of? Does PowerQuest and the music composition take up the lion's share of your time, or is time for something else on the side?
Yeah, pretty much takes up most of my time. I'm still working Monday to Friday, in a sort of regular day job in the IT industry. But a few people have approached me over the past year asking me, you know, if I'd like to work on other projects and all that kind of thing. And I'm desperately trying to make the time, you know, to do some of these things. An interesting one was an American band is on the agenda for the next few months, so I'm praying that I can find the time to do this.
Which brings me to my next question, is if there is any plans or a side project in the future in order to live out any unfulfilled musical desires, perhaps something, an own band that you can really live out yourself, what you want to do, or do you not have, does everything, all of your ideas go into PowerQuest, you don't have anything else, or?
No, it's funny you should mention that, actually. I've been thinking about, I've always wanted to do a melodic sort of progressive rock stroke metal album, a bit like early Dream Theater, that kind of thing. Only now have I've actually found a singer for this thing who I think will fit the bill perfectly, and I'm slowly pulling the lineup together for people I'd like to work on that. So hopefully once all the promotion for the new Power Quest album is done and we've done some live shows, probably looking at early next year, to be honest.
Okay.
I can start working in earnest in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It'll be something different for me.
Well, needless to mention, the scene in England is not the strongest with this type of music or metal in general at the moment. When I made an email interview with you over 3 years ago in 2002, you talked about the scene as almost non-existing in the UK, and you said that melodic metal is treated with very little respect by the mainstream music press in the UK.
Sure.
Do you notice a change in that area at the moment, or is it more or less the same as before, and how do you think it will change, if it will, over the next 5-10 years? Will we see an increase or decrease in British metal?
I think, to be fair to the press over here, there has been an upturn in interest, you know.
Mm.
Magazines that would have laughed at you 2 or 3 years ago are now taking a little bit more notice.
Okay, yeah.
I think a lot of that's due to some of the bigger bands actually coming over to play in the UK over the past couple of years.
Yeah.
And you've seen Ed Guy over here, Nightwish, Stratovarius, that kind of thing.
Mm.
And most of those bands were surprised to see how many people came to see them.
Mm.
I think they thought maybe 20 people would come or something.
Yeah, well, the audience is apparently there, but there's not much bands. I mean, it's you, Power Quest, and, well, when I think, I don't know, really pure power metal bands from the UK. It's, well, Dragon Force, of course.
Of course, yeah, no, and I think they're the other reason that there's been an upturn in interest.
Yeah, but apparently the shows attract people, so, I mean, there is an interest, apparently.
Oh, definitely.
At the moment, yeah.
Definitely. Magazines like Metal Hammer, which wouldn't have touched a band like us or Dragon Force in the past.
Exactly. Like 4 or 5 years ago, they was, like I said, almost non-existing.
Yeah.
But now I can also myself see an increase in it.
The very interesting thing, though, perhaps even more interesting than that, is the kind of next generation of bands, the 15, 16-year-olds.
Yeah.
There's a lot of power metal bands of that kind of age cropping up all over the country.
Yeah, okay.
And they email us and say, oh, you know, we've recorded a track.
Mm.
Will you review it for us? Will you tell us what you think?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, this is great. Obviously, you don't want to be harsh on people when they're starting out, so I'm always trying to encourage people as much as possible.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of these bands are getting together and doing little tours together and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, they're throwing everything in the back of a van and off they go sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's great. You know, it can only do the scene over here good.
Yeah, of course, of course.
And of course, you still have other bands over here who are reasonably well known. Not strictly the same as us, perhaps.
No.
You know, you could Balance of Power, for example.
Mm.
Shatterkeep, bands like that.
Intense.
Indeed.
There is a few, but... Yeah, is there any particular British band or bands that you personally at this point see is up and running and will go for in the future? Some bands that you perhaps want to see go for?
Well, I've become friends with many of the metal bands, to be honest, over here, over the past few years. Most of them work so hard, you know, it's unbelievable, but for very little reward at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, we mentioned bands like Intense and Shatterkeep, like, work the socks off, you know, and they deserve a break at some point, I think. But there's a new up-and-coming band, just done their first demo, actually, called Crimson Tears. They were very influenced by Nightwish and the like. And they've got a great female singer, a fantastic teenage keyboard player as well.
Okay.
And, one to watch, I think.
Yeah.
But, there's a lot of bands up and down the country who just need that little bit of encouragement, you know, to get them out there. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens over the next 4 or 5 years.
Mm.
It'd be nice to get a generation of bands out there, you know, in their early 20s and flying the flag, as it were.
Mm. Back to Power Quest a little bit. Following the tradition of power metal very firmly, both musically and lyrically. There are a lot of fantasy lyrics and text about dreams and so on. Is there a chance in the future that we'll hear some everyday topics being brought up in Power Quest songs, or even political? Especially in these times of terrorism being a popular topic for songs for logical reasons, of course, and if you look at the recent horrible events with the bombings in London.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed. I think, to be honest, on the new album, we've already started heading in real life kind of areas of the lyrics. Children of the Dream is a good example of that.
Mm.
That song is just about what it's like, you know, growing up.
Yeah.
You think anything's possible kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, and Hold On To Love is based on a real life experience.
Yeah.
There's another one on that album as well, I think. Find My Heaven is another one. It sounds fantasy, but it's basically talking about the real world again.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing I like to do is, if you can get a lyric that works on two levels, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
If it'll work as a story.
Yeah.
And it'll work as something meaningful.
Absolutely, yeah.
then that's the perfect combination. You can appeal to everybody with that. And yeah, I think we'll probably see more of that in the future, I think.
How much work is being put into the lyrics, really, in general, compared to the extra music?
I think this time round, yeah. I worked harder on the lyrics. They didn't come as easily, perhaps.
It feels pretty much like they are. That there is a more serious theme or message behind most of the lyrics. It doesn't feel like with some bands, some lyrics. The lyrics are just done in order to fit in, to feel as much metal as possible.
Absolutely.
It seems like you're working quite a lot on the lyrics.
Particularly when you think of something that comes from your own personal experience, maybe.
Yeah.
And you've got to work and find the right word to express a particular emotion. And it'd be too easy to just pick the first word that comes into your head.
Yeah.
Which, you know, of course you could do it and just move on to the next song.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a sense of satisfaction for yourself if you spend that bit of time trying to search for the right word to describe what you're trying to say. I've never been a fan of just write down anything, you know, to fit in. doesn't seem much point to that, to me.
Too many examples of that.
Yeah, exactly.
When I asked you in our last interview, a mailing interview we did 2002, your wishes then for the coming 3 years were, and I quote, "It would be great if we can make a big splash with a debut album and follow it up with a killer second record." Another member of the band said, "In 3 years I would like to see the band with a couple of awesome albums and some big shows under the belt. I'd love to do a festival like Wacken in Germany." So now we're here, 3 years later, and to the situation that you're in now, meet the expectation you had then, or?
Yeah, I think the only thing I'd grumble about, perhaps, is not enough shows.
Not enough
shows,
yeah, okay.
That's the only thing I'm very happy with.
Yeah.
The records we've done, I'm very happy with the people we've got in the band, and the people who've been in the band as well, you know.
And the fan base has grown over every album, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, we've found some very loyal fans, to be honest. You know, very dedicated.
Exactly. I noticed that if I browse around your forum on the internet and website, also they're very...
It's incredible, really. One of the shows we played with Threshold last year, a guy flew all the way from the north of Ireland to see the show in London.
Yeah.
And we were only playing for half an hour.
Yeah.
I said to him, "Wow, you come all this way?" He said, "Yeah, I don't care about the other bands, we're just going to see you."
Yeah, man.
And that makes you feel quite humble, you know?
Yeah, of course.
And I spent, I think, about an hour chatting with him, you know, after the show. I thought, Christ, this guy's come all this way.
Really so, dedicated.
Yeah, the least I could do is spend some time with him.
Of course.
Amazed me, it really did.
And yeah, if you look into a crystal ball now, let's say 2-3 more years ahead, perhaps with another album, how do you see the situation then, and what would the ideal situation be according to you, if you even want to think about that far? I don't know.
Well, I'm always thinking far ahead in a sense. Obviously, sure, we'd like to have another album done by then. I would hope if we haven't done a European tour or anything like that by that point, I think you've got to then start questioning whether you're ever going to do one.
Yeah, perhaps.
You know, you've got to, as much as it's fun doing the band and, you know, it's great getting out there and playing, if it's just costing money, you know, even if it is fun, obviously you've got to balance the books. You know, I don't anticipate making a fortune, but we have to not get ourselves into debt with it.
No, exactly.
And I think, you know, you've got to be realistic if something isn't working, even if only, you know, maybe 10,000 people are buying the album. That's great, you know.
Yeah.
We could keep doing that, not doing the shows, and, you know, that would be a nice little sideline.
Yeah.
But realistically, I think the band deserve the chance to get out there and play a bit more.
Yeah, I really think so too. Yeah, it's a gig area that... It's really.
I think that's what will get us across to a bigger audience as well. You know, I'd love to play Europe, Japan, maybe one day even go to the United States or South America.
Yeah.
You know, it's all dreams of mine, those things.
Yeah.
But it's certainly a new album without a doubt. I've already started writing. Yeah. I'll stop.
Well, Steve, that's pretty much what I had. I think we have to round it off here. Is there anything else you want to add to the Readers of Metal Covenant?
Well, I think I'd like to express my sincere thanks to all your readers for all the support they've shown us over the years, and for you and your colleagues at the website as well.
Yeah, well, the pleasure is all on our side.
Yeah, I just hope we can come to see you guys someday and play for you, you know?
Yeah, most certainly.
That'll be the ultimate thing.
Yeah, I really hope to see you around on some gigs sometime, somewhere.
Sure.
So, well, good luck on the release for the album on Monday in the European market.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed. And, that was it.
Well, thank you very much.
I wish you a pleasant, continuous Saturday afternoon.
And yourself.
Okay.
Good to talk to you.
Yeah, good to talk to you.
Take care, mate.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye now.